Well, good Saturday to you all, and welcome to this 18th day of September, day 261 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who is showing up with you each day to spend some time together in the pages of the Bible, to let the Bible direct us to the one who is the Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. We come to listen to him. Jesus said, "My sheep, they hear my voice." And so, Lord, we are your sheep, and we come to feed on your word, to train our ears to hear from you, to have you direct and guide us, that we may lay in pastures green by still waters, that we might feast from the table that you prepare for us. And so today, Lord, we look into this book, Ezekiel, chapters 45 and 46, and Luke chapter 1. And we ask you to unveil our eyes, that we might see and behold you. Ezekiel 45. When you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 3/4 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. The entire area will be holy. A section of this land measuring 875 feet by 875 feet will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land, 87.5 feet wide, is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 mile long and 3 1/3 mile wide. Within it, the sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be holy, set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. The strip of sacred land next to it, also 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 mile wide, will be a living area for the Levites who work at the temple. It will be their possession and a place for their towns. Adjacent to the larger sacred area will be a section of land 8 1/3 mile long and 1 2/3 miles wide. This will be set aside for a city where anyone in Israel can live. Two special sections of land will be set apart for the prince. One section will share a border with the east side of the sacred lands and city, and the second section will share a border on the west side. Then the far eastern and western borders of the prince's land will line up with the eastern and western boundaries of the tribal areas. These sections of land will be the prince's allotment. Then my princes will no longer oppress and rob my people, and they will assign the rest of the land to the people, giving an allotment to each tribe. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says: "Enough, you princes of Israel. Stop your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. Quit robbing and cheating my people out of their land. Stop expelling them from their homes," says the Sovereign Lord. "Only use honest weights and scales and honest measures, both dry and liquid. The homer will be your standard unit for measuring volume. The ephah and the bath will each measure 1/10 of a homer. The standard unit for weight will be the silver shekel. 1 shekel will consist of 20 garas, and 60 shekels will be equal to 1 mina. You must give this tax to the prince: 1 bushel of wheat or barley for every 60 you harvest, 1% of your olive oil, and 1 sheep or goat for every 200 in your flock in Israel. These will be the grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings that'll make atonement for the people who bring them," says the Sovereign Lord. "All the people of Israel must join in bringing these offerings to the prince. The prince will be required to provide offerings that are given at the religious festivals, the new moon celebrations, the Sabbath days, and all other similar occasions. He will provide the sin offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, liquid offerings, and peace offerings to purify the people of Israel, making them right with the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: in early spring, on the first day of each new year, sacrifice a young bull with no defects to purify the temple. The priest will take blood from the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple, the four corners of the upper ledge of the altar, and the gateposts at the entrance to the inner courtyard. Do this also on the seventh day of the new year for anyone who has sinned through error or ignorance. In this way you will purify the temple. On the 14th day of the first month you must celebrate the Passover. This festival will last for 7 days. The bread you eat during that time must be made without yeast. On the day of Passover, the prince will provide a young bull as a sin offering for himself and the people of Israel. On each of the 7 days of the feast, he will prepare a burnt offering to the Lord consisting of 7 young bulls and 7 rams without defects. A male goat will also be given each day for a sin offering. The prince will provide a basket of flour as a grain offering and a gallon of olive oil with each young bull and ram. During the 7 days of the Festival of Shelters, which occurs every year in early autumn, the prince will provide these same sacrifices for the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the grain offering, along with the required olive oil. Ezekiel 46. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The east gateway of the inner courtyard will be closed during the 6 workdays each week, but it will be open on the Sabbath days and on the days of new moon celebrations. The prince will enter the entry room of the gateway from the outside. Then he will stand by the gatepost while the priests offer burnt offerings and peace offerings. He will bow down in worship inside the gateway passage and then go back out the way he came. The gateway will not be closed until evening. The common people will bow down and worship the Lord in front of this gateway on Sabbath days and on the days of new moon celebrations. Each Sabbath day, the prince will present the Lord a burnt offering of 6 lambs and 1 ram, all with no defects. He will present a grain offering of a basket of choice flour, to go with the ram and whatever amount of flour he chooses to go with the lamb. And he is to offer 1 gallon of olive oil for each basket of flour. At the new moon celebrations, he will bring 1 young bull, 6 lambs, and 1 ram, all with no defects. With the young bull, he must bring a basket of choice flour for a grain offering. With the ram, he must bring another basket of flour. And with each lamb, he is to bring whatever amount of flour he chooses to give. With each basket of flour, he must offer 1 gallon of olive oil. The prince must enter the gateway through the entry room, and he must leave the same way. And when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, he must leave by the south gateway. And those who entered through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. They must never leave by the same gateway they came in, but must always use the opposite gateway. The prince will enter and leave with the people on these occasions. So at the special feast and sacred festivals, the grain offering will be a basket of choice flour, with each young bull another basket of flour with each ram, and as much flour as the worshiper chooses to give with each lamb. Give 1 gallon of olive oil with each basket of flour. When the prince offers a voluntary burnt offering or a peace offering to the Lord, the east gateway to the inner courtyard will be opened for him. And he will offer his sacrifices as he does on Sabbath days. Then he will leave and the gateway will shut behind him. Each morning you must sacrifice a 1-year-old lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. With the lamb, a grain offering must be given to the Lord. About 3 quarts of flour with 1/3 gallon of olive oil to moisten the choice flour. This will be a permanent law for you. The lamb, the grain offering, and the olive oil must be given as a daily sacrifice every morning without fail. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. If the prince gives a gift of land to one of his sons as his inheritance, it will belong to him and his descendants forever. But if the prince gives a gift of land from his inheritance to one of his servants, the servant may keep it only until the year of Jubilee, which comes every 50th year. At that time, the land will return to the prince. But when the prince gives gifts to his sons, those gifts will be permanent. And the prince may never take anyone's property by force. If he gives property to his sons, it must be from his own land, for I do not want any of my people unjustly evicted from their property. In my vision, the man brought me through the entrance beside the gateway and led me to the sacred rooms assigned to the priest, which faced toward the north. He showed me a place at the extreme west end of these rooms. He explained, "This is where the priest will cook the meat from the guilt offerings and sin offerings and bake the flour from the grain offerings into bread. They will do it here to avoid carrying the sacrifices through the outer courtyard. and endangering the people by transmitting holiness to them. Then he brought me back to the outer courtyard and led me to each of its four corners. In each corner I saw an enclosure. Each of these enclosures was 70 feet long and 52 and a half feet wide, surrounded by walls. Along the inside of these walls was a ledger of stone with fireplaces under the ledge all the way around. The man said to me, "These are the kitchens to be used by the temple assistants to boil the sacrifices offered by the people." Luke chapter 1. Many people have set out to write accounts about these events that have been fulfilled among us. They used eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children, because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week, as was the custom of the priests. He was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife also is well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they came for a circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There's no one in your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet. And to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy: "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies, so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. And now may our Lord give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Each new day, the morning light breaks through the night's darkness. And each new day is but a rehearsal for that one day when the light of God's Son arrives. He will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and He will guide us all to the path of peace. Zechariah's song is a song worth singing. It is because of God's tender mercy that this morning light is about to break upon us. And Mary has a song too. And she sings, "How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He took notice of His lowly servant girl." God's light shines upon the lowly. His light breaks upon the humble, on all who are willing to let God be God in them, on all who are willing to believe that all that God says He will do, He will do. When our humble faith meets God's merciful morning light, His song rises within us, and we begin to experience something new. Zechariah and Mary have a song, and if we want, we have a song too. When we meet each day with faith and the possibility that God is with us, that God is good enough and big enough to meet us and favor us in our lowliness, in our hunger, in our shame, in our lowly lives, when we begin to encounter the God of love, a song begins to rise up in us. Join Zechariah and Mary and all those who humbly believe that God is good enough to take notice of the lowly and that He is big enough to do what He said He would do. So let that song rise up and join in with John and Mary, lifting your voices in praise to Him. And that's a prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my wife, for my daughters, and my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, hey, what do you say, my DRB people, my brothers, my sisters? How you guys holding up out there? Have you made that transition into this new season? Kids back in school, all your summer ramblings wrapped up for the year. Are you settling into things? Have you broken out any sweaters yet? Is it sweater weather where you're from? Heather's been walking around saying, "Sweater weather. There's sweater weather out there. Today's a sweater weather day." And we're breaking out sweaters here on the Oregon coast. In fact, today was a pretty wet and gray kind of day. It was foreboding. It was just making a statement saying, hey, don't forget, you're in a rainforest, buddy. And so we got the message. We certainly did. But we are enjoying the days of fall. Thus far, this has been really the only kind of gray and ominous day. Up till now, it's been really beautiful. September is one of the best months here on the Oregon coast, and we've enjoyed being here. But today was just the local environment telling us what's up. Well, I hope you guys are able to enjoy your September, whether that includes a sweater or not. Well, fall clothing aside, we would love for you guys to sign up for our newsletter. We are going to have one that comes out. I know we are terribly late, but Alaska kind of put a kink in everything with our summer and our plans, and we are about a month behind in all the things that we wanted to be doing and preparing to do. It's coming, folks. We'd love for you to get it. If you haven't signed up for it, head on over to the webpage and sign up for it there. And if you'd like to reach out and connect with us, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can go old school and you can write us at Daily Radio Bible, P.O. Box 227, Seaside, Oregon, 97138. You can also send us a voicemail, and that's real easy. Just head on over to the webpage and click on that little link on the side of the page that says send voicemail, and you will automatically be able to send us a short little message. And that arrives to us. We hear your voice, and that's the coolest thing of all, because, well, for one, you know, you've heard my voice plenty. It only seems right that I should hear yours. And the other is this. Some of you have these amazing accents, and that's always fun, you know, to hear somebody from New Zealand or Singapore, Taiwan. I mean, it's just a blessing. So share your accent, folks. Send me a little message. There you have it. You've got a couple of ways you can reach us. And I think my email is working now, which is hunter@dailyradiobible.com. And that makes three ways. So give it a shot. Say hi. Tell me who you are. Who's to blame for you being here? Whatever you want to share, you can share it. Well, hey, I'm going to check out now, but what do you say we show up again to share some more tomorrow? That's my plan. Rain or shine, sweater or not, I plan on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.